Tonight, our 10-minute speaker is Doug H. from San Diego.
Get into that keg quite a bit, you know, and just, you know, every once in a while, help me out, make me sleep, and, you know, I kind of liked it. So one thing led to another, and, you know, here I am. But, you know, I had an early start on everything. By the time I was 13, I was in junior high school. I was doing it, anything and everything I could get my hands on, drinking, drugging, you name it, I was doing it. And I was still managing to, I believe, snow my parents and my family that there was nothing going wrong, because I always got good grades, always. Had straight A's or maybe a B here or there. And I was very athletic. I was in played baseball, soccer, you name it. But at that time, I know this is an Alcoholics Anonymous meeting, but I was smoking so much pot that I can't believe I could run like that. And by the time I was in eighth grade, I became an entrepreneur and decided that I could sell some prescription medications that my father had in his medicine cabinet to some of the students at school, and that didn't turn out very well. A couple of the kids overdosed, and I ended up in handcuffs and charged with a felony. And my parents finally knew that there was something wrong. Took a little while for me to get over that one, and I can't remember how long I was stuck in the house, but I know it was for a long, long time. But after that, you know, I got back out after they let me off of restriction or whatever they called it. My dad beat the crap out of me first and then put me on restriction. So things progressed some more drinking, more drugs. And then once I hit high school, it was during the mid-80s, there was a lot of cocaine in that time, and that seemed to be the drug of choice. And not knowing that I was an alcoholic at that time, I drank a lot, but I was also doing a lot of other stuff. And then it took me a while when I finally came to the realization that I had a problem. It was a realization that I had a problem with cocaine. But when I made it to treatment, I found out that it wasn't cocaine that was the problem. It was the alcohol that was the trigger. I never did cocaine unless I was drinking. I don't know why, but that was it. The alcohol was the trigger. So I went through treatment at the age of 22 at Alvarado Parkway Institute. So I'm in the neighborhood again. I had no idea what AA was all about at that time. I didn't know anything about it, and that was what treatment was. It was they fed you, and they fed you AA, and they fed you Narcotics Anonymous, and that's what they did. And that was the basis of the programming. At the time I was in there, I was a young kid. You know, I didn't think I had a problem. I think I could handle things, but, you know, I went in there for all the wrong reasons, because I went in there for other people as opposed to going in for me. And I managed to get out of treatment and stay sober for almost 2 years. And I worked at a restaurant at that time, even when I went into treatment, and they knew I had a problem, but everybody in that place had a problem. I mean, I don't know if anybody's familiar with the restaurant industry, but everybody parties. Everybody parties. And even the owners of my restaurant were partying. You know, we were in the office during the shift, drinking and doing other things that we shouldn't have been doing. And, you know, and this is a fairly affluent, high-class restaurant, so thought it was normal. And to work until 10 o'clock and then party till 4 o'clock, and then, you know, it was just a nightly thing. So once I got sober, I still continued to work at that restaurant, and then, you know, things kind of went sour after a couple of years. I got that itch. You know, I was going to meetings. I was working with my sponsor, but something clicked one day, and all of a sudden, I remember I was at a golf tournament, and after the tournament, we were all at a bar at a place I shouldn't have been, and I grabbed a beer and drank it, and that was it. It was on. I mean, really on. And after that point, I never really dabbled in any of the other stuff I was doing, the pot or the coke or anything. It just was all drinking, because that stuff got in the way. Now I found out that stuff got in the way of my drinking. Plus, it cost too damn much. And it's like Robin Williams said: if you do cocaine, cocaine is God's way of telling you make too much damn money. And I didn't make any money, so it was hard to, well, whatever. But drinking became a nightly thing and then became a daily thing to the point where I got fired from that job for being drunk on the job. Next job, fired from the job for being drunk on the job. Next restaurant job, fired from the job for being drunk on the job. I got to see a pattern going here. I don't have a problem. I happened to meet this girl one night, and I'll never forget her because the night we met, and she was actually dating a friend of mine, and within a week of me meeting, he's not my friend anymore. We ended up getting together, and at that point, at that time, I think I was probably 24, maybe 24, and I met my perfect match. This girl could party, and she was 10 years older than I was, and she had a good job. I didn't have a job, so it worked out rather well. She helped me, she fed me, she boarded me, and put a roof over my head and fed me alcohol. And what we did, the amount of alcohol that the both of us drank between us was just astronomical, to the point where, it was just sick. It was so sick, and we both knew it, but we didn't do anything about it. And she was a fighter. I'm not a fighter. She used to beat the shit out of me on a nightly basis. And for the life of me, I don't know why I never hit her back. Now that I look back at it, I should have hit her back. Maybe she would have stopped, but it just got ugly. We lived together for 4 years, and for 4 years, I don't know how we survived. I really don't. I jumped from one to another. Finally, she took a job in San Francisco. So I said, great, we're going to move to San Francisco. And you know how this is going to end. Four years together in San Diego, 30 days in San Francisco, and I was out of there. And I went out of there with a blaze of glory, let's just put it that way. There was a neighborhood bar that, it literally was kitty corner. Here, the corner of the street was right here. It's in the Marina District, corner of Chestnut and Fillmore. And there was a bar called the Horseshoe Saloon. Right next to it was a pottery barn that covered both corners of Chestnut and Fillmore. And we were in the apartment right next to it. And I didn't make, I left the bar that night. And San Francisco's really liberal, man. It's a liberal town. They don't, they don't care about a whole lot of stuff. But I just seemed to stumble out at the wrong time. And I didn't walk but 30 feet. It was just about, literally out the doorstep to get into the house. And I got pulled over by, well, not pulled over. The cop pulled up on the sidewalk and started hassling me. And, for the life of me, I don't know why I'd said what I said, but I said it, and it was probably the worst thing you could call a woman. And she did me up, big time. I got beat senseless and thrown in the jail down there, and didn't realize how bad the damage was until I finally got back on an airplane. And then from that, after being released from San Francisco City Jail, I got on an airplane. Actually, went and got drunk, got on an airplane, got more drunk on the airplane. On the airplane, blacked out. I don't remember anything of the flight. I remember waking up in detox in San Diego. That's how bad it was. I don't remember anything from the time I got on that plane till the time I hit detox. And they asked if I needed medical attention. And I wasn't feeling any pain, but yeah, I guess so. And they looked me over, and then after 4 hours down there, they released me, and I couldn't walk, and I couldn't figure it out. And looked at my leg. My leg was just bruised and battered. That cop had broken my leg in two places with her nightstick, and I didn't realize it. That's how drunk I was. So when I came back to AA, I remember distinctly calling an individual and saying, listen, I'm done. I can't do this anymore. I was only out for 4 years, and within 4 years, I got in a serious car accident drunk that I flew through the windshield, landed on the freeway, and didn't get arrested because so happens my sister was the nurse at the hospital the night that I came in, and she told the doctor who I was, and the doctor shooed the highway patrol out of there. Otherwise, I should have been arrested. And my friend was not injured, thank God, but I broke a couple vertebrae and and was pretty screwed up for a long period of time, but that didn't stop me. Then the DUI came again. I got another DUI, and that was it. I mean, I got two DUIs, but still not thinking there was anything wrong, you know. But after that trip back from San Francisco, that was it. You know, at that time, I probably weighed about 170 pounds, maybe. I was just water. I was just full retention. I had bloated. I mean, all I was drinking was alcohol. And I was a vodka drinker. And by the time I finished drinking, I was probably drinking about a half a gallon of vodka a day. No ifs, ands, or buts. I mean, I needed that stuff. I needed it to function. And there was a bar that we used to go to quite a bit. And became really good friends with the people at that bar, and that's where I drank a lot. I drank a lot at this one bar. And when I finally sobered up, somebody came over and got me. Before he came and got me, I said, "You got to wait a few minutes and then come get me." I drank a bottle of champagne and a bottle of Hennessy cognac, a whole bottle. Picked me up. So I can't move. And put me in his room and let me sit there for a few days. And I tell you what, that feeling alone of DTing for 5 to 7 days is enough to make anybody not ever want to drink again. Because I was sick as a dog. And there's no reason why I should have been doing that. I should have been in the hospital. I could have died. I mean, my blood pressure was through the roof, throwing up, you name it. And I was a mess. And, you know, thank God for this guy, you know, that I knew who to call because I'd been in the program before. And he helped me out a great deal, you know. Finally, I got it, you know, and I started going back to meetings, got a sponsor, got sober, you know, and I started to get a little time under my belt. And after about 4 years, I decided to go away to school, and I moved up to San Jose, and I finally finished my college degree. And, you know, I came back from San Jose and worked for Hewlett-Packard for a little while and stopped going to meetings. And there was a long stretch there where I didn't go to meetings, very long stretch. Got married during that time, had two kids, and I have a 2-year-old and a 4-year-old now, and I'm in the process of going through an extremely adversarial divorce right now that's been going on for quite a while. And I didn't start coming back to meetings until about four months ago, maybe. And now I know why things in my life were so screwed up. Because I wasn't practicing the principles. I figured it out. It cost me a ton of money. It cost me a ton of money, and it cost me seeing my kids on a daily basis, but I figured it out. And, you know, it just feels good to be back. You know, God willing, in January I'll have 15 years. And for somebody who drank like me, that's amazing, man, because I was dead. I was literally dead. When I came back, the first time I walked back into a room after I came back, I was on crutches with a broken leg. My kidneys weren't working. My liver was shot. I had bleeding ulcers. And I was 27 years old. How much longer do you think I was going to last? Not much. So, and at that time, I was unemployable. Nobody wanted to be around me. My parents disowned me. And now I have a beautiful relationship with my family. My parents, you know, were like best friends. And, you know, the old saying, they're, you know, glad to see you go, or glad to see you come, and sad to see you go. Whatever. That's it. That's my story. Thanks.